a lot of times it requires you just getting out of the way. If you just get out of the way, God can do what he has to do. The hard part is getting out of the way. And the Spirit of God has made it clear and has made a lot of inroads here in this house as far as him being able to move and do what he's asked us to do. Because on a larger scale, if God can't get in, we're not going to win. We're not going to win. And I'm not just talking about winning victory in the world. I'm talking about you're not going to win in your emotions. You're not going to win in your faith. You're not going to win in your finances. We get locked into a way of doing things, and that way of doing things holds us. And without us allowing the Lord to get in and break us free from those things, that they begin to hold us longer than they should. And rather than us be free, we walk in bondage. And so we're going to get into this a little bit today. And like I said, God redirected my message. And this is a simple verse on Proverbs chapter 27. And it says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. So God said, I can be trusted. So he said, if I wound you, I'm wounding you on purpose. And a lot of times we take the scripture and we say, well, this is kind of cute. And what does this really mean? If you have a friend in your life that you would consider, this friend is like, they're my BFF, they're my ride or dies. They tell you like it is because they love you. And not only that, but they have permission to speak into your life because of what you've been through with them. They have proven themselves over time and over seasons that they're not just a fair weather friend, that they have your back when push comes to shove, and that you can speak into their life and that they can speak in yours and vice versa, and that you have a healthy respect for one another and that you don't get offended. And this is our problem today. We're offended too easy. And anytime you get offended too easy, you lose the opportunity for growth. And you can't walk anywhere in your relationship with God and there not be an opportunity for offense. Starting with the cross. The cross was offensive. And not only that, but understanding what you have to walk through to be a Christian can be offensive. Because you can turn that offense toward God and say, why have you allowed me to walk through the seasons of my life and through what I've walked through? Because the seasons have been dark. Can't you just make it any easier so I could see you in a different way? But how can trust be built if it's not built in the dark times when you can't see God and you have to trust blindly? Trust cannot be built by something just be given to you. Well, I'm just going to give it to you. Now you can trust me. No, God doesn't do it that way. God said, I'm going to allow you to search for me in the dark times, and I'm going to allow you to look for me. And I'm going to build trust, because when I come through for you, you'll see that I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. And I am who I say I am. But trust is not built in good times. I don't care what anybody tells you. The trust that I have in my wife has been built over years of hardship, years of difficult seasons, years of dryness, years. And it's come on a deeper level because she's still here. The trust that I have in Jesus has been built over years. It did not just happen when I got saved. Automatically, I didn't just trust Jesus. People say, just trust him. I didn't trust Jesus completely with my life. And to be honest with you, I'm still trusting him on deeper levels, because the deeper I go, the more I have to trust that he's going to sustain me, because I can't breathe without him. Have you ever been in the ocean? And the deeper you go in the ocean, the more pressure there is. The higher you go up a mountain, the harder it is to breathe. So God said, I'm going to be with you the deeper you go, and I'm going to be with you the higher you go, but it's going to take a little while for us to get there. I'm not just going to put you on the pinnacle right away. I'm going to take you up the mountain. I'm going to take you deeper in the water, and every level that we go, you're going to trust me. I'm going to force you to trust me, and this is hard for people when they give their life over to Christ because they expect some sort of magic trick and that their life all of a sudden changes. Because we love Scripture, and Scripture says, and we love to quote it, and we stand on it. If he began a good work in me, he will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And we walk around in faith. I'm a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. All things are become new. But inside, you don't feel that because he's cutting, and you're dying, and you're sweating, and you've got anxiety, and you've got no idea. You're quoting a word. You're quoting a word. And you fail to realize that it's the process of the word working in you that's changing you. You don't just quote it. You got to live it. And a lot of people outwardly have an expression of who God is, but inwardly there's no depth. There's no depth. And so when they're being worked on and when they're believing God in process for what God's going to do, they have no root system to be able to stand because they don't understand why God is not coming through when he said he's going to come through because I quoted the word. I quoted it. It should be working. It is working. You're just not seeing it. Because every time you stand in faith, more of the old life is cut away and the new comes up. The more your flesh dies, the more the Spirit of God can rise up. The more you say no to sin and yes to God, the more you start to win. That's how it works. You don't go from point A to Z and all of a sudden you don't leap into victory. You go one step at a time. It's the climb. It's the descent. Because you don't go up before you go down. That's how it works in Christianity. He didn't go up to heaven until he went down. Into the grave and into the belly of the earth where he took back death and hell and said, these are mine. Then he went back up. But we don't talk about death a lot because we like the promises of God and we like the way it sounds. But in reality, the process is difficult. And in that process, it can be very difficult to trust God when you cannot see him. And you have to be very careful that you allow God access to you in this process. The problem is we have a lot of people saying they're a Christian, but God doesn't have access to them. I'm going to say that in a different way. Or ask you a question, does God really have you? Or is it from a distance, I see you, Lord, I got you. But don't ask me to do anything. Don't ask me to commit. Because it's going to require too much of me. What did the cross require of Christ? You miss out on the full life that God has called you to live because you're afraid of the cross? You can't cancel the cross and expect that you're going to have this thriving life in Christ. Because it's through the cross that you find life. So if that's all you do is believe God in the good times, you're missing out on the fellowship of his sufferings because there's fellowship in the suffering. That's where you need to get. There's fellowship in the suffering. That's where God wants to get with you in the suffering. It's nothing for God, Maria, to lift you up. It takes more work for God to get in with you. It takes more work to get in with you because you're in the way and you got too many things blocked up. And so God has to clear the stuff out of the way so that he can get in with you and do it with you. That's where he wants to be. He's not scared of you. He's not scared of you. You're a little afraid of him. Because of what it requires. Because we like to give access to certain people. But truth be told, not everybody has access to us. Even the people that are closest with us don't know us completely. Only God does. And so if you're expecting a relationship with God and also a relationship with people to thrive at the same time, it's not going to work unless God has access to you completely. I'm talking about access to all your codes. All the little things that you block up and key up, access to those things. God said, I want the key to that. Because that key, if you can give me that key, I can unlock healing from that incident in your life. But the longer you hold on to the key and think that you can work it, it's not going to work. I got to get to the root of it. You're asking me to heal you, but unless I get to the root of it, there's going to be no healing. Because the root is the problem. The root is rejection. You're holding on to rejection because they didn't come through for you or because someone said something bad about you. And you didn't realize that that one thing has built its way into your life. So anytime something good comes into your life, you repel it. Because there's a root there that hasn't been fully removed. And you know what I mean when I talk about roots. Especially if you have a yard and you're trying to get out there and you're trying to plant flowers, but you got roots, you got weeds, and some of those flowers and those things can't really be tilled right, or they can't grow right because there's something deep down there that's got to come up. And unless you go out and you excavate it properly and you plant new soil in and it's nourished and it's watered, you're not going to see growth. And so God takes a lot of time to clear out stuff. And it's uncomfortable because you don't like being cleared out. You don't like being told what to do. You don't like being told how to live. You don't like God coming in and interrupting you. And if no one else will stand up to you, God will. If no one else will tell you, God will. And God is so faithful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Now, he'll interrupt you even though you don't want an interruption. How many of you, and you can think about your life, just look back at what God has done. There have been certain times in your life God has confronted you and said, we're going to deal with this now. And unless it was dealt with, you would not be a semblance of the person that you are today, because whatever was being dealt with had you. This is what I mean when I talk about having you. First thing you got to do is you got to know your yoke. Know your yoke. A lot of people walking around, and I love Jesus, and they can't turn their head. There's no freedom.
Because they're shackled
with stuff. They're shackled. And they don't tell you, but they're battling with depression. They're battling with stuff that's got them hooked, and it's choking them. And you know what it means to be choked. If you've ever been in a situation where you felt like you couldn't breathe, you understand how good it feels to be able to breathe. Okay. So if you've ever been bound in a relationship that had you held, you know the feeling of what that feels like. And you know when God freed you from that, the exhilaration that came when you felt released from that situation. Okay, so look back over your life, and you ought to just trust the Lord and just begin to think about those things that God has freed you from that allowed you to breathe again. And you don't like to talk about it, but those things that God saved you from and actually saved you from yourself, because it was really a decision you made that put you into bondage. And he came in faithfully and said, listen, you know as well as I do, this ain't for you. And it was God's faithfulness that got you out even in that time to do it and help you breathe. Come on, how many times have you got caught and you didn't want to tell anybody, but God came in and just said, I got you. I got you. Thank God that he freed you. Thank God that he showed you who he was. Thank God that he came in supernaturally and vindicated you, that he covered you, that you didn't get stuck, and so that your butt is still not in a situation, that you're not in prison physically, emotionally, spiritually, and I'm spitting because God's good, and that God released you from that stuff. You know who he is. You know who he is. You, come on. You know who God is. He's faithful. He's faithful. Oops, Lord, I didn't really want that. I know. Because he knows what you want. And so when he wounds you for a reason. I'm cutting that off because it's not good for you. They're leaving because you don't need them. Stop holding on to them like they're your lifeline. And matter of fact, that's why I'm letting them go. Because they're your source. And you can't live life and thrive with God if he's not the one true source. It just doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. Because he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And so if there are gods that are popping up in your life, you can be sure that God's going to come in and start knocking them out of the way. If God is faithful and he honors his word above his very name, then you know he's going to come in. He's going to start taking care of some of that stuff. Lord, I don't like it. I know, but they're going. It's good for you. I know. I love you. Just sit in it just a little bit. They're going because they're taking my place. And if God said, I'll have no other gods before me, and he's supposed to have the only place in your life, you can be sure that he's going to go to excavating and pulling things out. Because some of you are in love with your own bitterness. You're in love with dysfunction. You're in love with offense because of the way it makes you feel. And God said, it's killing you. I know in a weird way, it kind of gives you some sort of comfort to stay insulated. But I didn't die so that you can stay insulated. Because really what it's doing is choking you. I got all these promises for you, and you can't receive them. Because there's something, you stuck. You're stuck. All right, like, come on, girl, give me an amen. And Jesus saying, she's not growing up with any roots. You will do what God's called you to do and not get shackled to people. You will do it. And you will declare God's goodness. Even though you're crying, you can hear my voice still. Yeah. Every guy that comes in and tries to tell you you're not worth it, you're going to know who you are. Every person that comes in and tries to derail you from God's purpose, you're going to be so insulated in God that you're going to be able to know truth from lie. You won't be a statistic. But we fall in love with dysfunction, and we call it, I just loving myself. Because we think if I just protect myself, I won't get hurt. And in reality, what you do is that you imprison yourself from anything that is actually beneficial for you. And you can honestly tell me that living the way you're living, as opposed to walking in freedom, is actually better. I want you to think about the two sides of your life. If you could look back real quick, the times in your life where you were barricaded behind bitterness and self-defeat, and when God freed you and you're now walking in freedom and you're now walking in peace, what was the better side? This one? You love this side? No, this one is where we want to be. But the journey from here to here is hard. Because it's a lot easier to live protected than it is risk being hurt again. I can't do it. I can't. If God has freed you, he has freed you to be able to live free. And that includes the possibility of things not going your way, the possibility of offense, the possibility of being misunderstood, the possibility of rejection, the possibility of not getting it right all the time, all the possibilities that are there, God has freed you to be able to live in such a way. Not to live bound, but people are afraid of freedom. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. You're afraid of it. Because of what it actually entails. Because that means you have the freedom to fail. No, I don't. You have the freedom to fail. I'm not talking walking in a sin or a course of sin. You have the freedom to fail as you're ascending with Jesus. Because he knows the process. So that means that you might have to get it wrong a couple times before you get it right. Notice the response. Well, no, I ain't trying it. No, notice it, quiet, because deep down inside, people don't want to look at themselves as not measuring up. And when you look at your relationship with God, God already knows that you don't measure up in yourself. You are already in right standing with Him. And so the ability to be able to live life and get it wrong is okay. But it doesn't mean you stay there. It means you learn and then God redirects you. Remember, you're being perfected. Come on, you're being perfected. And so how can you be perfected if you're perfect all the time? It is a ridiculous amount of pressure to have to walk around in perfection all the time and not make a mistake. That's not freedom, it's bondage. You haven't been given a spirit of bondage again to fear, but a spirit of adoption where you cry, Abba, Father. Thank you, Lord, for freeing me. Thank you that I can come boldly before your throne of grace and receive mercy in the time of need. Thank you, God, that if I fail, you still love me. Thank you, God, that you still have a plan for my life, that my goodness is not predicated about whether or not you're going to be good or not. You're always good. I don't make you any better than you are. You're making me better. I got to know my yoke. What's killing me? What is the fear that's inside of me? If I let myself out, what does that mean? If I allow myself to love again, what does that mean? If I allow myself to trust, what does that mean? Lord, I'm afraid. He knows. But I can't walk around in bitterness and self-defeat and fear. Because it robs me of the freedom that God has called me to walk in. It's not God's best for you. It's just not. Know your yoke. Listen, by now you know that you're not perfect. The problem is that you haven't let yourself out. God already sees it. If you'll let yourself, it's not like God hasn't given you the key. If you just take it and open the door and let yourself out, you'll feel a whole lot better. What does that mean, Pastor Richie? That means this. I'm asking you, number one, to forgive yourself. And number two, get to know the God who made you. And that means that you're going to have to let yourself out of this state of being perfect and just be you. How well do you really know you? How well? I would say that the best version of you is still in there. It's just locked up still. And when the seasons change and when God begins to do things, those areas will become unlocked. But you have to be bold enough to allow them to be unlocked and see another part of yourself that you have not seen. Because you've only seen this half. You saw yourself when you were grieving. You saw yourself when you didn't have any hope. You saw yourself in dysfunction and praise Jesus, not there anymore. It doesn't mean we don't have dysfunction, but I'm not walking in that anymore. I saw myself there. But some of you need to just embrace the new you in this new season. New you. I feel fantastic. Because of the goodness of God and what He's brought me from. And allowing me to be me in the process. And this is where we got to help with our mindset being tripped up. Be you. God's not asking you to be somebody else. God's not asking you to be robotic. God's not asking you to get all the prayers right. God's not asking you to stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight. God's not asking you to do any of that stuff. What I'm asking you to do is follow me. Do it. Do what I've asked you to do. Step out. Try it. Man, you ought to just rehearse God's goodness. And Mr., you said that today. I was thinking over the last couple of days, and God has given me some perspective about all the stuff over the last 5-6 years that we've done. I'm like, when that perspective changed, I'm like, what's going to stop me? What's going to stop me? What is it? Something else going to come in? Nah, I already got it. Because the perspective has changed because my mind has changed about it. And the reason why my mind changed about it is because I saw the faithfulness of God. And when I saw the faithfulness of God, all of a sudden my trust level went up. And now if I know that He's for me, who or what can be against me? Even in the midst of my wandering, in the midst of being me, God still loves me and He still has a plan for my life and I can still do what God's called me to do. What can stop me? What can come against me? What fear can come against me? What doubt can come against me and actually form and win? Nothing can. Nothing. This world has been in transition. Some would say that, man, the last 2 years, it's been going on for a while. The last 2 years were just God saying, because the issue is God saying, we're going to kick this thing over and we're going to start to reveal what I have on a larger scale. Larger scale. All that stuff has been set up. This church, in Jesus' name, I'm prophesying and prophetically that this church has been set up for this time. And God has set this church up for this time, and the time is coming where God is going to do tremendous things, and he's going to pour his spirit out because of the mantle and the anointing that's on this church. And you might say, I don't see it. You're going to. Because in the spirit realm, it's huge. And so that's why I can stand up and proclaim confidently that if God is for me, who can be against me? Why? Just because of his faithfulness over the last 5 years. We could have a workshop in here of all the stuff that we've been through and all the stuff that God has delivered us from over the last 5 years. All the process leading up to that. Ooh, he was good there. He was good there. And knowing the season that God has brought us out from and into, it is a new season. It is. You can just sense it. It's a new day. Why? He's given the oil of joy for mourning. People are laughing. There's a new level of worship. There's a new level of adoration and praise for God because what he's brought them from. Because God said, I brought you from that to bring you in. God never brings you out of something unless he's about to bring you into something. God doesn't just drop you off and say, okay, now just figure it out. He said, I'm about to bring you in. Get ready. And he's not slow on his promises either. You know, God does his best work behind the scenes. Best work behind the scenes. While you're toiling about all this, God's behind the scene doing a little thing here. Sewing stuff up. Oh, people got to go. Strengthening finances. Jobs and promotions. All this stuff, as you're looking at Jesus, he's in the back just doing stuff. Don't sleep on him. You got to know your yoke. What is it for you? What is it right now that's just choking me down like this? When two oxen, if you look at Bible times, when they would plow together, sometimes there would be an unequal yoke. And the way that looked was this. There would be an oxen there and an oxen here, and there would be a bar that would go across from one oxen to another that would bind them together because the purpose was for them to actually plow forward. Well, the issue is that sometimes there was an unequal yoke. Sometimes there would be a stronger or a smaller ox on the other side, and instead of going forward, they would plow in circles because they were not like-minded. Is your yoke people who are not like-minded and you're going around in circles trying to do things with them and try to make progress, and God said, it's not going to work because you're not like-minded. Be yoked equally. That's why I have a problem with believers and unbelievers dating. I don't care what you say, it does not work. It does not work. You don't have the magic pill that all of a sudden is going to make Danny become a lover of Jesus just to justify your relations together. It doesn't work that way. And so I'm not talking about two people who are not saved and all of a sudden one gets saved and they're married and one gets saved and all of a sudden it's like, what do we do now? Okay, I'm not talking about that. But as a Christian, if you know I'm about to get into a relationship and this person, I think he is, he said something about God one time. And all of a sudden it's like, I think there's hope. There's hope because you're just, I love him. And so he said something about God and I know, and you know in your heart, it's not what you're supposed to do. Don't do it. There's no fellowship there and no area where it's going to work because inevitably what's going to happen, you're coming down because you're not strong enough to say no in the first place. Oh, I love people, and we're supposed to witness. Yeah, but all of a sudden, you're in a relationship with people where you're compromising, man, and there's no stance. And you know, little by little, you're compromising, and little by little, your relationship with the Lord is not where it should be because you're in that relationship. Know your yoke. He's not that good looking. She's not that great. Cut it off. There's nothing there for you. Nothing. Nothing. Well, God gave me a word. That wasn't him. It wasn't him. It wasn't him. Know yourself. If God is faithful and you can trust him, trust what he's saying inside of you. Don't do it. If you're in a relationship and God's checking you and saying, dump him. He'll talk like that. Man, I got stories. I got stories. Okay, I got stuff, man. I can't. There's too much to say. Get out. Get out. Just get out. Yeah. No, I can't. I kissed him. Yeah, not my fault. Get out. Oh, Jesus, help me. Lord, we're in love. No, you're not. You're not. You're tied emotionally. And that's not love. I'm emotionally tied. I love him. No, you're emotionally tied. So if God said, late, can you go? It'd be tough. You tied, man. Until you're up at this altar and you say, I do, you got a chance. You got the chance. Don't, you got it. And the Lord is faithful. You'll be out. You walk him out. I told you to do it. Just do it. I can't, Lord. I can't. 5 years later, God will warn you. And it might not be him personally, but he'll send somebody. And to say, hey, listen, I love you enough to tell you the truth. You're yoked, man, unequally. And I'm telling you the truth. That's your responsibility. People are getting tripped up all over the place. Truth is truth. There's no fellowship there. None. None. You're in work relationship with the people. That's great. Work relationships. But there's no intimate fellowship between believers and unbelievers where it's going to go somewhere. Well, I'm telling you, I feel like God's going to do something. Yeah, he's going to do something. But you, watch yourself. Even in the temptation of you thinking there might be something there, there's nothing there. There have been times where I have looked at something and in my flesh I've said, you know, Lord, there might be something there. There's nothing there, Rich. See past the sensual into the spiritual. That's where the issue is. You're sensually attractive, but the spiritual is not there. They're dried up. And you're going to try to be in a relationship with someone who's dead on the inside. It doesn't work. Cut it off. Know your yoke. I got friends. Good. Have friends. Have boundaries. Know your yoke. Well, all my friends are doing this. Not you. No. Well, yeah, I am. No, not you. You're not doing that. All my friends are smoking weed. No, you're not. I mean, but they're my friends. Cool. From a distance. I got boundaries. Because you're supposed to be representing Christ now to a lost and dying generation. So, you know, you can't be flirting with stuff. The stuff that God's delivered me from, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for the boldness now to be able to speak on it. You can't step into that stuff. You don't have, there's no desire to do that. There's no desire to go back and relive it. Why would you want to get into that? And so here's the mandate. You see people who are unequally yoked, deal with it. And also, the decisions that people have made in spite of wisdom, it's on them, not on you. I told you not to do it, but now you got to live in it. Second thing, last thing, stop the bleeding. How do I stop the bleeding? Cut it off. Put pressure on the wound and the bleeding will stop. How do I put pressure on a wound? By taking a stance against it. I'm not going there. And anytime you say no and you continue to say no, guess what? That stance gets stronger and stronger. The bleeding stops. So what area of your life are you bleeding out emotionally right now? You're just bleeding. We got to get it to stop. That's why we do emotional healthy. Because if we can't align with the truth, we've lost. We've lost. Because the truth has a weight on its own. It is still male and female. It's still. It's still the marriage bed is undefiled. Still. It's still he's the way, the truth, and the life. It's still there. It's still my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If I can't get my emotions to line up with the truth, I'm losing. And I got no power whatsoever. And God's calling me to stand up against something, but I can't because I'm in bed with it. Because we end up flirting with things we shouldn't be flirting with. You don't have to flirt with sensuality. You don't have to. I'm married. I got enough right here. I like it. And it should be that way. It should be. There's no apologies about that. It should be that way. It should be. Because that's the way God has made it. So what is it for you that it's just bleeding, man? I'm bleeding. It's still, and for some people, man, I can still, it's still kid stuff. It's still kid stuff, man. Dad told me I wasn't good enough and I wasn't going to make it. And it's still in my head. It's time to get it out. How do I do that? It's time to go through a process. No, I can't do it. No, it's time to go through a process. Because why? Because no relationship is going to be able to survive your dysfunction.
That's right.
You keep dying out and drying up in the vine. No one's going to be, let's be honest. No one's going to be with that. Maria, I love you, right? I love Maria. I love what she does. But the reality of it is that people, when they come into a relationship, they take so much baggage into those things. Unless that stuff is dealt with, how are we going to fly anywhere? Because every time I do something that is not kosher or goes against what you think, you're going to try to control me. And every time you try to control me, you shackle yourself. And then I'm frustrated and we can't go anywhere because now we have a problem. Now we have a spirit of manipulation and control. And that's not going to work. You try to control me, we got problems. We got problems, man. It doesn't work that way because that's not God's design. God's design is freedom even in relationships. Come on, even in partnerships, it's freedom. You're allowed to do what God has called you to do and be you, and that's cool. That's freedom. The moment that's encroached on, a healthy person says, problem. Problem. You got a girl who wants your attention all the time, 24/7. You texting me? You got to get a life. We got a problem. I can't deal with that. I told you one time through an emoji. Thumbs up. That's good. That's me stopping the bleeding. Because the more healthy you get, the more you realize, oh, I see what's going on here. I see what's going on. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care how good it looks. The issue is what's going on the inside. Well, we got to be mature enough as Christians. You got to be able to mature enough to say, I can't be part of that. Why? Because if the Son has set me free, I'm free indeed. And I do not want to get entangled with your mess. And that's not me saying I don't love you. No, I love you. That's, you don't want me in that. I'll mess you up. And people are intimidated by that, especially when God does a work in someone's life and God has freedom. People get intimidated by their own dysfunction. They'll look and say, man, they get intimidated and they try to control you because of your freedom. And that's not on me. That's on you. Sounds familiar. You're going to walk out of here this week. You're going to be thinking about people in your head right now. Ooh, manipulator. Control. Oh, I see that. You should be walking around just marking things. There should be something in your life right now that it's just a mark. The Holy Spirit's so faithful. If he won't, he knows. You know. Like there are things right now, look at and say, avoid. Unhealthy. Issues. Oh, I see what's going on there. All that stuff. And that's just the Lord saying, I got you, boy. Why? Because guess what? I went through the process. I went through the process. Why? Because who the Son says free is free indeed. I saved you to set you free so you wouldn't have to get entangled in the affairs of this life. Stop the bleeding. Church as a whole, stop the bleeding. I don't need you to look like the world. Stop. I don't need you to be so inclusive that I can't find me in you. Church, I need you, church. The Lord said, I need you to come apart, be separate. Be separate. Let's all stand to our feet, man. Come on up here. Oh, man.
Man.
The Bible says every weapon that forms against you shall not prosper. Every weapon. It might form. Doesn't mean it's going to prosper. If you're really walking with Jesus, it's not going to work. It'll try to pound you a little bit, but it's not going to work because you're insulated. And if the Spirit of God lives inside of you, you got so much power to deal with it. So if that same Spirit's inside of you, whatever's trying to come against you, God said, I got you. I got you. You got to listen, though. You got to trust me. You got to trust me. But if you're not trust, I want you to think about it this way. If, real life example, Maria obviously is a licensed mental health counselor. If she's not careful, she can get entangled with who she's dealing with. Come on. Come on, Ethan. Give me Ethan. Right? Because a lot of emotions are being spoke. And if she's not in place with God where she needs to be, the enemy can get in real quick and there can be an entanglement that takes place that forces her to go down that road where she doesn't need to go because she's already been freed from that. That's why she's doing what she's doing. So you got to be careful with even yourself and how you deal with people in life. When you start to feel the enemy trying to form something, you need to back up and say, nah, that's not of God. Because he'll try to form it. It doesn't mean it has to prosper. But I'm afraid in the body, stuff's prospering. I'm not saying this body. Stuff's prospering. Because there are people that call themselves Christians, and I can look right into them and say, but you're deceived. You're not even living it. Yeah, thank you. The three people who are really walking with the Lord, no. Because no one likes to tell their stuff. So like I can tell right inside of you. I see what you're not living it. That's your thought process on that? Because you can be a Christian and still be deceived.
Yes, that's right.
And it's hard to walk in power. And even the best intentioned people who call themselves Christian are deceived because they think that this is the way it should be because God's a God of love and it just is the way it is. And what happens is that they dilute the truth. Because in reality, the truth itself hasn't taken root where it needed to take. And they're not living by faith. They're living by emotion and feeling. And like we said before, it becomes a sensual thing. You know, Christianity and a relationship with Christ can become very sensual and not spiritual. Because people fall in love with that stuff. They fall in love with emotion. They fall in love with love. He loves me. And they fall in love with peace. And they fall in love with that rather than the Spirit of God leading them. They fall in love with that. And that's when you get entangled with people because you're doing life with people who are not fixed, who are not healed. And all of a sudden you have emotional baggage and issues. And now you start questioning, am I really? So we do health, we do emotional health to help you, not to hurt you. Because it's through the pain of that that frees you from your need for unhealthy. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, even in the midst of what's happening, even in the world today, you're so faithful. We can trust you. We thank you, God, that you even said that where you're lifted up, you would draw all men unto you. Lord, we lift you up in this house. This week, God, we lift you up in our workplaces, where we go. God, help us to know that we are a representation of who you are. Thank you for giving us the boldness to speak against injustice, to speak against those things that are not right, We thank you, God, that the truth is inside of us. Help us to walk in that freedom. Lord, unentangle people even as they leave this place. Help us to align with your word, because we know that when we do that, we'll see power. We'll see signs and wonders. We'll see things happen, because we know that your word is powerful. It's sharp. And as we leave for today, God, well, we would go with a new awareness of your presence with us, in Jesus' name. Everybody.